this part of the series is about how to lead them to lean on Him. Okay, not you. So one of the things that happens in ministry is, you know, we talked about boundaries last week, and this is a bit of an extension of that, you know, like basically on a deeper level, that if we, you know, we want them, whoever it is that we're, you know, that God sent to us, that's called out, you know, in the crying out for help, whoever they send, whoever He sends to us, or we get connected with, in what, you know, we need to make sure that we're going to serve them, not by making them dependent on us, but making them, showing them how to be dependent on Him. Okay, there are some in ministry that sometimes, you know, a person can get so burnt out they want nothing to do with people. They've had enough, and they basically, the attitude is, don't keep coming back to me with your problems. I mean, I've heard that actual pastors say things like that. But if they have not been, you know, made themselves a bridge, so to speak, from that person to the Holy Spirit, so that the person actually knows there is a Holy Spirit that lives in them that they can constantly commune with and seek out, they haven't really done their job. They haven't finished it. We don't want to leave these people unfinished. So if someone has a problem that, you know, whether it's a physical problem, you know, and so they're not getting healed immediately, because these are the people that are going to keep coming back to you. I mean, if someone gets healed, you're probably not going to hear from them again. You know, other than they give you a testimony and then they're off, you know, hallelujah. And that's what you know, that's what you want. You want them to be free. So what we want to ensure as we're, you know, ministering online, we're talking in, you know, in that context, is that we don't leave them high and dry. We talked last week about having boundaries so that we're not, you know, squeezed dry like the sponge with nothing left to give. We, you know, that's not acceptable either, obviously. So our the only way that we're going to prevent that happening to us, where we're squeezed dry, or to them where they're left high and dry, is by pointing them to and engaging them with and teaching them how to be with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that's going to happen. So this is what this session really is about. And how do we do that? I mean, the most foundational thing is that we have to make sure that our relationship with Him is first and foremost thriving. Because if we don't have a thriving relationship with Him, how are we going to pass that on to anyone else? So, and that isn't a striving kind of thing. Oh, I must be with Holy Spirit today. And, you know, like you do, you know, you do your sessions with Him. It's not like that. It is that you do consider it of the utmost importance. He does come first. God is to be first in our lives, not as a rule, out of a relationship of love between you and Him. That's how we develop our relationship with Him, because of love. So we're, our own relationship, part of our ministering to others, has to be founded on, well, not part of, this is the foundation of our ministering to others, is our relationship with God is a thriving, living relationship. We commune with Him. We understand His voice. We know when He's speaking to us. We know when it's Him and when it's the enemy. When we get thrown off center for whatever reason, whether we're being attacked by someone or attacked by a physical illness or whatever, we know that we go to Holy Spirit for comfort, for healing, for hope, for help. And that's what we're going to teach them as well. They need to have that as well. And when we have someone that's coming back to us continually because basically they haven't been healed, Holy Spirit will show us how to minister to that person. It's not something we have to figure out, and it's not a formula. Some people will have been so shut off from God, partly because of their illness, it can be. It might have been their experience in the church itself, where they've been either maligned or denigrated or abused. Or it can be that they've just never really understood who they were in Christ, or, you know, all of the above often is the case. So when that's happening, we need to go to Holy Spirit. I had an incident the other day where someone contacted me and they were in a lot of pain and they've had a long-term illness. And you know, it was that kind of pain where they needed rescue. You know, they were frightened. With this person, I've noticed that a lot of the pain comes on because of fear, because of the enemy will, you know, attack with the pain, and then their fear will rise up, and the pain just intensifies, and it gets a grip, okay? But I was at the end of my rope in knowing what to do. And I was on a Skype type, so there was no sound between us. I just out loud went to Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do for this person, but you do, so just you figure it out, you tell me. And he gave me the next step. I can't even remember what the next step was, but that next step that I typed out on the Skype type was exactly what the person needed. And they were so thankful. And they knew that Holy Spirit had given it to me, so that confirmed to them that God actually cared and was looking out for them. So you're not just getting, oh great, aren't you amazing at ministry? That's not what we're doing here. What we're getting is that Holy Spirit, isn't he great? He knows you, he cares about you, knows the number of hairs on your head, and he's just told me this is what's going on. And the person feels validated. They feel cared for. They feel they know that they're not alone. And sometimes when people are struggling with a long-term illness that just has not gone, they often feel abandoned by God. So when you, as ministering to them, have something that the Holy Spirit gives you directly and specifically about them, that is like a this is a picture he's given me. That is like when we have something like that we give to them, that is like a pint of blood. That's how rich and life-giving it is, okay? So, but we don't want to make up those things. We don't want to try to come up with our own little solution. Oh, well, this person's feeling this, and last time I did somebody like this, this worked, and maybe I should do... No. We go directly to him. We go to the Holy Spirit. We ask him, and we say to him, I don't know what to do. If we're in that place that we don't know what to do, that's what we say. We don't pretend we know what to do. There's no point in that. It's not going to get us anywhere. We just tell him, I don't know what to do. What's the next step? Help me. You know, he's our helper. And he gives it to you immediately. It's amazing how quickly it happens. It'll be the next thing that comes out of your mouth. You won't be trying to figure it out. You won't be saying, oh, should I do this or this? Or should I do this or that? And he'll give it to you because of you know how he says, if you humble yourself, you know, he will exalt you in due time. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God in our ministry by seeking him out, by asking him directly, what do I do? What's next? I don't know how to help them. So instead of trying to be the ones who have, you know, the know-it-alls, or, well, I've been doing this for however long, and this worked before, that's not the position we want to come from. Where we want to come from is, you know exactly what to do, Holy Spirit. Now, if we're already flowing and we're moving and the person's moving through, we just trust that. That's Holy Spirit doing his work. But if we get to a stalemate, a place where that person isn't moving, they're not getting any relief one way or the other, whether it's psychological, physical, emotional, spiritual, then we have to go to him. Not that we weren't going to him before, we're already flowing through him. You know, he's flowing through us. That's what where our whole ministering is coming from. But there are times when you can just feel it. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. And when that happens, if we don't yield to him, we're not going to know what to do next, because we're going to be trying. You know, we get frustrated and frightened for them sometimes. You know, we've got to remember our own emotions can get caught. We can get caught in the middle of that, and we don't want to do that. So what we're always doing is yielding to him. So when we're dealing with somebody, he might say something like this. You know, you're in a place where you don't know what to do next. You've ministered to this person maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe a dozen times, and there's been some breakthroughs, but then they seem to go back to where they were before, or they get attacked worse, and they just don't know where to go with it anymore. So what you do is you ask him what to do, obviously, because we're not in charge here. He's leading us. This is the Spirit leading this ministry, whatever ministry you're doing. He might even say something to the effect of, very something very personal to that person that will mean so much to them. For instance, I had one where the person, which I didn't know, even though I'd worked with them for a few times, that what was going to mean something to them was that they could not fail. They'd been through so many ministries, so many accusations from ministries, felt guilty, felt condemned, felt as if their faith was nothing, and that they never had enough faith. So they were, and you know, the enemy was having a field day in condemning them, not only physically with excruciating pain, but then on top of that psychologically. It was psychological warfare, really. And when I said, which Holy Spirit told me to say, that you cannot fail, when I said that to that person, such relief. They needed to know that in Christ Jesus they have triumphed already. That is their position for eternity. Whether it looks like it or not, in the physical reality. And that's what this person needed to hear. Now, I wouldn't have known that without conferring with Holy Spirit and asking him how to help and what was next. And that's what we have to do. You know, we have to always remain humble about it. I don't know what to do, but you do, Holy Spirit. That's why when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he exalts us in due time. As soon as I said that, that person, it wasn't like they were suddenly completely free, but we were able to continue the session, the pain subsided, they were able to go to sleep. And this, you know, some illnesses are not going to just be, you know, a flick of a switch gone. We want them all to be that way. I'm not saying that's not our goal. We want to be exactly as Jesus was about it. You know, as he is, so are we in this world, in our character, as well as in our ministry. That's our desire. That's our standard. It's not nothing less than that. So this isn't an excuse to say, oh, sometimes they don't get healed. No, they must always get healed. That is what he did. He already paid for their healing. But the one thing that is really important here is that you cannot blame yourself if they're not getting healed. That's not going to help anyone. That's not going to help. You are not going to want to minister to that person. In fact, you're going to want to run 1,000 miles in the other direction because every time you see them, you feel like a failure. So we don't do that either. That's not the done deal either. What we do is we always go back. And it's not even going back. You know, Holy Spirit's one with us. As we're speaking, he's talking. And if we stumble or if we're at an impasse, then we refer to him directly and say, I don't know what to do, Holy Spirit. What's next? In Jesus' name. That's it. He will do the next through you. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to go, what's next now? What would Holy Ghost say? No, he's in you. He's going to tell you what's next. For that particular person, that particular time, that particular situation. It's all individual. So again, it's nobody failing. This is not about anyone failing. It's not about the person who hasn't been healed yet in whatever, you know, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever. It's not about you failing if you haven't seen the healing yet. We're not even, failing isn't even, it's not like failing's not an option, you know, like Navy SEALs. We're not talking about that. Failing is impossible because he always calls us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So our standpoint is that I live in triumph. All the time. If I don't see the triumph in the physical, I do not doubt that I still am positioned in the triumph of Christ Jesus because he triumphed on the cross. It cannot be undone. And I live in that place because I'm one with the beloved. And now we are beloved. So we're not looking at it from every, you know, there isn't an issue of failure. And we need to let people who we're ministering to, especially if they've been through the ringer, you know, long-term illness, perhaps long-term abuse, it could be in their families, it could be through church, whatever it is. If they've had the blame game done on them, and then, of course, self-blame, which the enemy, you know, will filter in through all the other attacking. If they've had all of that, they're going to feel like a failure. But we need to let them know you cannot fail. How can you fail? You're in Christ. What failure? There's no such thing. There's no such thing for a Christian. We cannot fail. We're one with the triumph of God Almighty called Jesus Christ. And he lives in us, Holy Spirit, the person of God, to constantly not just minister to us, but to constantly guide us,
to lead us into all truth. So there is no failure. So what happens after a while when you are doing online ministry on a regular basis is you get to a point. At first you can sometimes get to a point of being tired. We talked about that, and we talked about boundaries. But you get to another point, which is on a higher level. And that level is that you don't question God. You don't look at someone who is not getting healed as a failure on your, list. You look at that as, all right, Lord, well, you know what needs to happen. I don't, so let's go. I'm ready. And he will tell you. And although I did not see an amazing, healing of this person, and this person's been ministered to by all the so-called amazing healers of the day, the modern ministries. So it's not as if you don't see it with that person, there's a long line of people that have prayed for them. That's often the case. They sometimes will come to you at the end of their tether because they've been through so much already. The triumph, what's so exciting? See, then ministry can be exciting when you're doing it online and because you don't have the person there. It's very different than going in face-to-face. Face-to-face has its own challenges, but it's also amazing and wonderful because you're right there with the person, and you're touching them, and sometimes you're hugging them, and sometimes they're crying, and you're with them. It's one-to-one. When you're online, it's a virtual experience, but you're still experiencing, and the enemy still attacks, Holy Ghost still pours forth, all of that happens, but you're not there looking at the person, seeing how they're reacting, maybe holding them when they need it, those kinds of things that you cannot do online. So if you're doing it from a context of, I cannot fail, then the pressure is off. The pressure's off. And that's off for them too. Because people feel, it's become such a big deal in healing. Healing's become like its own God in many ministries or in a lot of, some of Christianity. There's a lot of Christianity that doesn't even believe it, and there's others that believe it, but they just think, God flicks a switch now and then and when he feels like it. But the ones that are doing it on a regular basis or that believe healing is, not just for today, but is we're meant to have it. It's part of our inheritance. Can also have pressure put on them, or put pressure on themselves or others. That if you didn't get healed, what's wrong with you? Or if you didn't get that person healed, what's wrong with you? That is not where God is coming from. He wants it for us because it's a gift. Because everything he does is from love. Healing is because of his love. Salvation is because of his love. Provision is because of his love. Holy Ghost is because of his love. It's all based on love. Because God is love. So there isn't any worry that we, are we in the good club? Are we on the top of the class? Or am I doing this right? Is it perfect? We're not even in that place. All we know is that he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I live in triumph. And if I don't see it right here today, I still live in triumph. And so do they. Because all illness and all sickness is a delusion anyway. I mean, I know it physically happens. I'm not saying it's not, if somebody's flesh isn't being eaten away by cancer. I'm not denying that. But it just as easily, through faith in who he is and his goodness and what he did on the cross and what he did by his stripes, can just as easily disappear like that. So it tells you what a delusion it is. It's not something that has to be permanent. People don't have to die from it. And that's, that's the power of God that we see in healing, when we see people completely restored, that looked impossible and that doctors have given up on. That's the joy of this, when we see that happen. When the person's in a process and they haven't seen that happen, that does not take them out of a place of triumph. They still live in that place because they're in Christ Jesus. And he triumphed over the enemy. And made a spectacle of the enemy. The enemy is trying to now make a spectacle out of us. But the truth is, he really lost. He is a defeated foe. He's a vanquished foe. But he will tell you, I am a formidable foe. You can't beat me. It's like, I don't have to beat you. You were already beaten. I just have to agree with the one who beat you. My daddy. That's it. So So what we have to get is that it's not up to us. It's not like we're on a one-man or one-woman crusade, and we have to get everybody healed, and we have to save the world. No! There was a Savior already, and His name is Jesus Christ, and we're one with Him. And now Holy Spirit, the person of God, lives in us as a evidence of that oneness. And all we have to do, I mean, how blessed are we? All we have to do when we're in a situation, and this can be in our own lives, this can be because we're having an argument with a spouse or a difficulty with a child or a parent, in our own lives, we can refer to Him immediately without having to go through the trauma and difficulty and emotional, draining that we tend to do as human beings. We can go to Him immediately instead of trying to figure it out ourselves, which is impossible anyway, and we can say, I don't know what to do, what needs to be done. Holy Spirit, take over. Now, we want to always have Him in a place of taking over, and the idea is that, it's not an idea, it's the truth. We're one with Him, because whoever's co-joined with the Father is one spirit with Him. So we're already one. What we need to do is live in that reality that we're already one. And that reality that we're already one says that how can we ever fail? Because it's got a failure. And He's already triumphed. So as soon as we get that, healings will happen a lot faster. Because we're not looking at the manifestation to determine whether we fail or succeed. We're looking at, I live in triumph. My life, my actual walking around as a believer in Christ is a triumph in and of itself, regardless of anything else. So if I'm living in triumph, triumph is just going to happen. Rather than me trying to get triumph by saying, oh, this person got healed, so see, I am a success. See, I did make it. See, I have made the grade. We're not doing it from there. I live in triumph continually. So you walk in peace. You walk in His rest. And you know if a person doesn't get immediately healed and you've ministered to them 3, 4, 5, 12 times, whatever it is, that it's not a question of your being a failure. Some things are resistant. And we are learning to get to a place of where even the resistance of the enemy is nothing. That we don't balk by it. We don't aren't pushed back by it. That we just keep walking because, hey, I'm walking triumph. Enemy, you're walking defeat and I'm walking triumph. You want to have a go? Who do you think's going to win? I mean, if we look at it like that, what freedom we have. And then ministry is fun because you know you're going to triumph. Whether it takes 2 minutes or 2 years with a person. We live in triumph. And then, you're going to have not like I'm saying we want to have it extend that long. No, we don't want anyone suffering like that. We don't want them suffering a second longer. But if they are in that place, and we're in that place where we haven't seen it happen yet, we still live in the place of triumph that we know that is what will eventuate. And that will also give you the endurance. Because if if we're looking for just instant, and if it's not instant, well, we give up. Anyone who doesn't get instantly healed, we're gonna leave on the wayside, and that happens to so many people. They'll say, oh no, we're going to, we'll stick it out with you for as long as it takes, but nobody does. Nobody does. That's why these people come to me. Oh, and they're gonna come to you. Because they'll want someone that's going to stick it out with them, that actually does manifest love by hanging in there in the tough times. And the reason we can do it is not because we're being big shots heroes or we want to outdo everyone else. It's because we already are triumph. So I don't have to worry. My value, identity, and position is not dependent on whether that person gets healed or not. Because I'm already in triumph. He triumphed for me on the cross. Doesn't get better than that. So I walk from that position, that fulfillment, that wholeness. And how do I know He triumphed on the cross? I actually have His very Spirit, Holy Spirit, the person living in me. He's my evidence. Doesn't it say He's a guarantee of our inheritance? Wow, what a guarantee. Man, God Almighty living in me is my guarantee. I mean, I can't even comprehend the generosity of Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I can't even comprehend it. All I know is I'm benefiting from it, and so are other people. So we don't need to depend on ourselves. We don't need to depend on somebody else's telling you what to do. We don't need to depend on somebody else's ministry. We depend on Holy Spirit, who lives in us and is one with us. And if we come to an impasse, a difficulty, or some long-term situation that we haven't seen any overcoming yet for the person that we're ministering to, we always refer to Him. What do we do next? What's next, Lord? I don't know what to do. And you know, the freedom in that, of that humility, there's such power in humility. People have no idea how powerful humility is. You know, we think pride is what keeps us safe. It doesn't. Pride is what is, you know, what does it say? Pride comes before a fall. Pride will kick you in the rear end and hard. But humility will lift you up. Because He gives grace to the humble. And He resists the proud. So when we are humble, look at the grace He'll give you. He'll give you exactly what that person needs. Exactly. What you would never be able to know on your own, He gives you. And that person gets ministered to. It's not so much that they think, oh wow, you're so amazing. Don't you flow in the Spirit? No. They're going to be relieved because the Holy Spirit is now flowing through them. By what you have said or what you have spoken to over them or what you've directed them to do. Like I've had people that couldn't stop, you know, the barrage of attack on, in their mind, even just, you know, the condemning thoughts, the judgment. And they would say, yes, but why is my face so weak? And I'd have to say, shh, just do as He's telling you to do. This is the next thing I want you to do. I want you just to breathe. Okay. He just says breathe. Literally that simple. And the person will come out of that. Because some people, their illnesses, although it's manifested physically, is so psychologically born. Some people, it isn't just, okay, I got attacked with cancer or I got attacked with chronic fatigue or whatever the issue is. They actually have been psychologically attacked first, and that's the root of it. So we're dealing with their psychology that has been twisted and defiled by the enemy. And without that being addressed in some situations, I'm not saying always. You know, I've seen situations and even read about situations where the Holy Spirit just comes on the person and they are completely healed. I mean, it is done. Chains are gone. Shackles are broken. It's finished. It's a done deal. 30 seconds. And, you know, your jaw drops because you have no idea how that happened. But you know it wasn't you. And there are other situations where it doesn't happen like that. And these are the ones we, as people online ministering, are going to get. Because these people have usually been dropped by other ministries. They've sometimes been dropped by their own church, you know, leadership. Or they've been told, don't keep coming back with this. You've got to work it out with God, between you and God. But they don't know how. So there's no point in telling them to work it out with God when they don't even know how to be open to Him, trust Him. You know, they have to be healed on so many levels. So if you're having someone like that, and because it's an online ministry, although there isn't the intimacy of face-to-face, there is a different kind of intimacy, and people will sometimes feel more intimate, safer with you online than they will with someone in person who may judge them or walk out on them. And they may reveal to you things that they couldn't reveal to anyone else. So we have to be so tender with their hearts because they've already been battered. Usually fairly brutally. And we may be that quote-unquote last bastion for those person, that refuge in the storm, that little lighthouse that without, they don't think they're going to make it. Now, we don't want to keep them there. This is not about hero worship. This is about, okay, you know, when you're a ship on, you know, out on the rocks and you've damaged, you're just about to damage, let's say if you haven't yet, you know, and you're trying to meander through the rocks. And if we're the lighthouse, we're trying to show them where it's safe to drop anchor. That's what we're doing. And then when we do that, you know, we might direct them in, you know, wait for daylight, and then we direct them in where exactly to go. They might need provision. They might need feeding. They might need comfort. I mean, they're going to need all of that, really. And then, you know, we get them back on their ship, don't we? Well, they might need their ship repaired. But our job is not to keep them in the harbor for the rest of their lives so that they can, you know, lean on us and need us. Our job is to get them to know that He, even in that big fat ocean out there, is with them, one with them. He's on the boat. He's in the boat in them, even better yet. You know, it's better than what the disciples had. So if we've had an experience with Holy Spirit that has been so powerful to us, it doesn't mean that we slapdash it and say, okay, everybody has to have this experience too because I had it. It's not like that. But we can share it from a place of communing with that other believer because we're one. You know, we're one spirit with them. We're the body of Christ together. We can share it with them. If that speaks to them, hallelujah. If it doesn't at that moment, that's all right. But we don't want to turn anything, we don't want to turn communion or any other, and I'm not going to say practice, but any other revelation into some kind of formula for, you know, for everyone we minister to. Okay, if we are led with that particular person to do communion, let's do it. Now, in the fact that it is something, one of the things that Jesus told us to participate in and to do, it's not like we have to question and go, is this, you know, is this spirit-led or not? In terms of the context of with that particular person, I think it's important whether we don't tell them, okay, we're going to do communion now because we feel like it and we've had a great revelation. But I think what you can do is say, this has been my experience of communion. I never knew it was like this. Let me share you how He's revealed the stripes and blood of Jesus, what it really means. I'm going to share that with you. And if you would like to, after that, to do communion together in that understanding, let's do that. And let them participate that way, rather than it being something that we tell them, you should do this. Because there will be no life in it if they should. They've had enough shoulds. Usually the people that are going to come to you have had so many shoulds that one more should is going to be the nail in their coffin. They don't want to be told any more shoulds. They just want to be let free. And we want everything that we do with them to be an expression of the liberty of the Spirit. So we are listening to Him. That doesn't mean we don't share. I think it is really important because our experiences, one-to-one experiences with Holy Spirit that we share with other believers, often can minister to people without our even knowing it. We just share from our heart what He's done in us, what He's shared with us, what He's revealed, and other people are touched or moved or transformed. So we don't have to worry about how it happens because it's all Holy Spirit doing it. Our saying those words didn't transform them. It's the Spirit in it. He transforms them. So we don't have to worry about what exactly we do next and you know, what are the steps. We just listen to Him. We can share what we've experienced ourselves, and that, as I said, that's really potent because it's been real for us, and we're going to share, you know, just like when people share their testimonies, you know, they used to be drug addicts, and they used to be on the streets, and they used to do this, and then you see them as this amazing person that ministers to people all over the world, and you go, oh, wow, God is amazing. You know, if they can do it, if He could do it for them, maybe He can do it for me. You know, that's the kind of thing that happens. You don't have to figure it out. We don't have to figure out how Holy Spirit's going to transform people. We can just let Him do it through us. And all we do is be yielded. It really is that yielding. We just tell Him, okay, this is my situation. Well, Lord, You know the person that's there because You're with me and in me and one with me. What do we do here? It's really good to do, especially when you're first starting, not to go off on our own backs and say, well, I experienced this and then they should. We never want to do a should. If we find ourselves thinking should, we need to stop right there. And we need to say, Holy Spirit, what do You want me to do? What is necessary for this person? What is going to free them? Not what I think is going to free them. What You know will free them. That's where we yield. That's where we get humble. That's where we, you know, again, humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and He in due time will exalt us. And He does. And He does it really quickly. You humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. That's a quick run up the stairs then. He just puts you on the top. Here you are, top of the escalator. Because you've said to Him, I don't know, but You do. And He can give it to you in your hand because your hands are open. You can go, oh, take this to them. This is what they need. You know, and for Him, it's like golden treasures. You know, He said, give them the good, best stuff. I want them to have the best. But we won't know that for them unless we're listening to Him. You know, not doing it from what we've experienced. Our experiences are very vital, are important, not only to us, but they can be really potent and transforming for others. But it's Him that's transforming them through what we share. And you just know. You know, you just know what to share. So what we're really focusing on is humility. It is, if we do not humble ourselves before His mighty hand, and we think we know better than He does, for that person, better than they do, we are going to cause damage. And that is not why we want to do ministry online or in any other capacity. We want to be completely led by Him. So if He says to us, I want you to have communion with that person, or I want you to share with them what communion is, we're just using this as an example, then that's what we do. If He doesn't say that, we don't. If we think later about, say we've ministered with that person for 20 minutes, a half hour, whatever, and we think later about it, and it's like He's just popped it in our head, oh, communion. You can even write it on, you know, if you've done a chat with them or a Skype and you have their details or an email, try to always get their email. It's really important so you can make contact with them later. Like if Holy Spirit gives you something for them later, whether it's in a dream or just a word or a scripture, you want to be able to give that to them in time that He's given it to you. And you want to make that contact. So that's just another aside. Just try to make sure you have some kind of contact with them that you can, if you have them as a Skype contact, you can always do it through Skype. Or if it's an email, some people don't check their Skype that often, so you might want to always get an email, so that they can reconnect with you and you can give them whatever Holy Spirit's told you. So if He does that somewhere later down the line, then go for it. You know, give it to them because He said so. But it's always, you know what I love about it? This is what I love about God. Well, I love so many things. This is one of the things. Because He said so. That's our motto. Because He said so. Isn't that what He's done? The whole Word of God is because He said so. That's what we base our life on. He said He came. Was I there? Was I there when He was on the cross, being crucified, dying for me? No, because He said so. I trust Him. So if He tells me to tell them, let's do communion, I will do it. If He doesn't tell me that, I won't do it. If He says, I want you to tell them that they can never fail, because they live in me and they are the triumph of Christ, that's why He died for them, the joy of the cross, then I tell them that. If He says, I want them to just breathe three times very easily, then I tell them that. It doesn't really matter what it is, because He says so. That's our bottom line. He says so. If He didn't say so, don't do it, because you get yourself and the other person into trouble. You know, if we get our personalities, our tendencies, our likes, our dislikes, our own experiences, unless He tells you to share it, then go for it. You know, if we get all of those things before Him, and it's no longer He says so, but it's I say so, that's when things fall apart. It has to be because He says so. And because when you're a person who's yielding to Holy Spirit and you're learning His voice, you're learning what He's like, you know that, you know, everything He says would be conferred by Scripture. You're not, you know, just making up things off the top of your head. This is the problem. People are so afraid to be Spirit-led because they think you might do something crazy. If you're truly Spirit-led, you're probably one of the most sedate people there are. You're dignified. You're made of grace. You're not going to go out of your way to make anything look foolish or denigrate your Father. It's just not going to happen. So the fear of, you know, listening to Him, Holy Spirit, and saying, oh, well, we don't know if it was His Spirit or some other Spirit. Well, you're never going to find out unless you actually yield to Him and have Him lead you into all truth of who He is. It's actually a very simple formula, but there's a lot of fear about it. But the people who are ministering online and wanting to be Spirit-led or are being Spirit-led about it always have to go because He says so. That's what we do. It makes it so simple. And see, you can't fail either. And if you don't see a manifestation or the person healed immediately or whatever, because He says so that I was meant to do this or say that, you trust Him. He knows what He's doing. I don't have the answers why some people that have been dropped by almost every ministry that have come to me, not because I'm the hero, but because Holy Spirit is, and he doesn't even want the glory. I love that about him, you know. No glorying. But they come to someone who's willing to say, I don't know, but you know what? We're going to find out because he says so. That's what they need. They need to have someone that is not going to back down, not from the standard, we're just going to hit this thing until it relents. Sometimes that's what you need to do. There are times he says so. He says, go after it. Hit that thing. He will. But not. It's not a formula. It's not every time you meet somebody or you minister to somebody, you're going to go at it aggressively and tear its head off. That's just not how it is. There are times that's necessary. And he will tell you when. You don't even have to figure it out. There's times when you have to be so still and quiet to let him speak, not just through you, but to that person, that you're almost doing nothing. It looks like you're doing nothing. But what you're doing is a huge thing. You're completely yielding. And through that yielding, he can flow through to them in a way they've never had before. That's what we want for these people. We don't just want them healed. We want them yielded. We want them to know how to yield to the Holy Spirit, living God, living in them. If they get that from the time that you minister to them, they will be set free. And anything that comes against them, any attack, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual, anything that comes at them, will then not be able to overcome them. And that's the depth of this kind of ministry that you want. Because he's leading it, because he says so. You do he says so, you're not really going to have a lot of problems. If any, the only problem you're really going to have is that sometimes the enemy is going to harass you about it and try to make you doubt. Was that him or was that, you're going to get to a point where you don't even think that way. Was that him or was that me? It doesn't even make sense anymore. You're one. You just know. You just know that you know that you know when he's speaking. And that just comes by communing with him. It's not because any of us are more special than anyone else in the body. It's because we want to know him. I want to know him perfectly. That's my desire. Well, that's the will of God, that he's going to fulfill that desire. I don't have to try. But again, our bottom line is he says so. So we do it. You know? We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He exalts us in due time because he says so. I do it. And then who gets the glory? He does. If I'm doing this from self-effort, I glorify me. And that is not what we want to do. But if I do this, if I am yielding to him and it's his direction that I'm following, and then there is a great triumph in that person's life, who gets the glory? I don't get the glory. How am I going to get the glory? I didn't even know what to say. But he says so. I said it. They got free. That's how we look at it. You know. And that's freedom for us too, because who wants the burden of trying to save the world when Jesus Christ already did it? We don't need to be the second Messiah. You know? We just need to be believers in love with him, one with Holy Spirit, yielded and open to his truth and his grace, and ministers of his love. We really are emissaries of love. That's what this is all about. He was showing me the other day that, the reason he has anyone do anything in ministry of any kind is love. The reason he did anything, the reason he sent Jesus, love. The reason he gave us Holy Spirit, love. The reason he gave us his word, love. The reason he heals, love. The reason he provides, love. The reason for grace, love. It's all love-based. That's all we're doing. We're loving people into wholeness again, not by us doing it, but by the pure love of God that flows out of us through the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who, through him, the love of the Father was poured into our hearts. So through Holy Spirit, that love is poured out into these people, and it transforms them. Transforms their lives. So if he says so, we do it. That's obedience born of love. You know, it's not, I better do it because Father said so or I'm in trouble. It's, I love him. I trust him. Of course, if he says so, it's the right thing. Of course I'm going to do it. This is what this person needs. I'm not inside them, but he is. Holy Spirit's inside the person. I mean, you know, in this kind of ministry online, you're mostly going to get 99.9% are going to be Christians. Usually that are lost, sad to say. Battered, beaten, confused, don't know who their identity or anything else in Christ. Those are the ones you're going to be ministering to. So when he says so and you do it, you're doing that out of your a yielded heart because you love him. You trust him. You know he's good for his word. You know if he says something, he's going to do something with it. You know, the other day when he told me to tell that person, you cannot fail because you live in triumph. He causes everything that you do is a triumph in him because of what he did on the cross. Instead of it being, oh, if I get healed, I'm a success, and if I don't get healed, I'm a failure. That is not what he's saying. Because it says, he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Well, are we in him or not? Yes. Well, let's start living like it. That's, you know, that he just wants us to get a revelation. You're in him. You're in Christ Jesus. So how can you fail? And then anything that happens is in that context of triumph. Now, I didn't know that's what that person needed, although it's, you know, it's a wonderful revelation for any believer, but that particular person needed to know they could not fail because they've been told they've been a failure in not getting healed. I didn't know that was going to pierce their heart and open them to Holy Spirit and how he wanted to minister. She could not receive it until that was said. But I didn't know that. All I knew is there was a block, and I didn't know how to handle it. But he did. So it's, he says so, I say it or do it, whatever it is that he's told me, born out of my love for him and my love for them. That is a demonstration of being yielded to Holy Spirit. From there, they can be transformed and grow and be healed. And that's what we're doing. Humility is top of the list in any ministry. If it's not top of the list, we are going to fall badly. And we're going to hurt others on the way down. So we have to make sure, humility first. Lord, I'm doing this not to be a success, not to show off, not to run around telling everybody all my testimonies, not to say, look at how God uses me. I'm doing this because I'm serving the body. Because you love them so, you love me so, and I love you. And what am I going to do with this love? Sit on it? I can't wait to give it away. Because you just keep pouring more in. That's where we're doing this from. A heart of love for them. And then we're free as well. Because our whole identity isn't caught up in how many people got healed or did this one get healed or this one didn't. That's not our identity at all. My identity is that I am loved and in the beloved and I am forever one. And you know one of the greatest news that he's given me recently? Even if you make a mistake, you're one with me forever. And that's his true grace. And no matter how many people will hammer us or tell us we're wrong or denigrate us or, you know, try to drag us through the street, either literally or figuratively, we're one with him. So ultimately, does it matter? I mean, it doesn't feel very good. And what I love about Holy Spirit, he doesn't say, well, just toughen up, princess. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm your comforter, so why aren't you coming to me? You want comfort? And you go to him and you curl up in a little ball because, you know, you might have been slam dunked, hit across the head with false accusations or might even be true accusations. You know, we do make mistakes. That does not stop his love. Nothing can separate us from his love. And we are one with him because of his love. So nothing can separate us from being one with him either. So all we do is crawl under his arm and ask for that comfort. And that, you know, because there are times in ministry we're going to make mistakes. We may say the wrong thing, especially when we're starting, because there's more of us and less of him as we go on. And this is a really important prayer, I think, for every Christian, you know. And I used to do it every day. I haven't been doing it every day. I should be doing it every day. And it's the simplest prayer you can do. All of you, Lord, and none of me, in Jesus' name. People are usually afraid to say that because they think they're going to disappear. No, 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 no. What you were never to be will disappear. Who you truly are, one with Him, will appear and be on the surface and will be manifested and will be demonstrated. It's the best prayer. It is so free, you know, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I just want Him. More of Him, you know, all of Him, none of me. It's not even you increase, I decrease. It's like, just get rid of all of it, Lord. Because there's still things, you know, someone will attack you and how you respond will tell you how much of you is still in process of not yielding to God. So what we want in ministering to people, we want that. We want all of Him, none of us. And then there really isn't mistakes, but it's not a question of, oh good, I don't make mistakes anymore. It's not like that. It's there cannot be mistakes because I've just totally yielded to Him. So there's no room for mistakes. They just don't happen. But when we're going to make mistakes in our own lives though. There's going to be places where we say the wrong thing or, you know, maybe offend someone, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, all kinds of things. And we're going to be called into account. But I will say this, as you minister to people, if you're going to do this online, you know, on a regular basis, however often, you have to be really careful with your mouth. I mean, I'm just learning that. You have to be careful what you say. Not so much that, oh, you might hurt them or say the wrong thing, because we're saying, He says so, I say it. But I'm talking about in general, you know, we're going to be more viewed with greater accountability than someone who's not doing this. And because many in the church have been told, you know, they're not allowed to do this on their own, you have to have a particular covering, have you been released by the church, have they said it's okay, is this really your gifting, because there's been so much of that, even though that's nothing like the first century church, there will be some that will come against you for this, so you have to really make your mouth clean, you know, you have to be really careful. Because we will be called to an account, and the worst part of it isn't that, you know, they'll attack us, they'll attack the Father, they'll attack Holy Ghost, they'll say this really isn't Him. We do not want Him soiled. And that's something He's teaching me recently, because I'm a very intense, passionate person, and sometimes I just, you know, something just flies off the handle. And I really can't afford that. And none of us can if we're in this position. Because we want Him to be honored in everything that we do. That doesn't mean we don't make a mistake. If we make a mistake, we go to Him. We ask Him to help us, you know, with whatever that weakness is. We ask Him to comfort us if it's caused a problem for us or for others. We ask Him, do I need to ask for forgiveness of that person because, you know, this caused a rift? You know, we do all of that. He's our daddy. We go to Him. You know, help me out, daddy. I made a boo-boo, whatever. You know, there's no issue with that. But in terms of ministry, we will be called into higher account. That's just how it is. So we have to be very, you know what, you remember when Jesus said, who doesn't count the cost? You know, if a man is going to go to war or a king, does he not count the cost of what it will be in manpower, in money, in chariots, horses, whatever it was at that time? Weaponry? He counts the cost before he enters in. So we have to count the cost of, if I'm going to be in ministry and there's a certain public arena, if you're going to be on an online ministry, and people will either refer to you and have others come to you, or they'll say, oh no, don't go to that person. You know, that happens to people. They'll come to me and say, oh, I went to so-and-so and it was terrible. You know, that will happen to us as well. If we are not because He said so. If we do it because He said so, we are covered on all levels. And this is not about, oh, let me watch my back. This is about, let's honor my daddy. We always want Him to be honored in what we're doing. It's about His reputation, not ours, because we represent Him. So all of that together is that the simplest bottom line, because He says so. That's why I do it. That's why I did what I just did. That's why I said what I just said, because He says so. All of Him, none of me. And then any ministry, whether it's online, in person, or any capacity, writing, whatever, will be done as an honor unto the Lord.